Well, thank you. Thank you for the welcome. Thank you there. I'm the only pastor in this ministry that's afraid to speak. So please give me grace. So I was thinking yesterday was a great victory and a great time and so much fun at the wedding, so much joy. But as I look back and I look around, I think maybe now more than any time that I've been able to recognize or see that there seems to be such energy in the atmosphere, that there seems to be such an attack and such power coming against everything that I love, everything that I like, everything that's important to me. And you become easily overwhelmed in this. So as I was thinking about this what is God's heart? What is God's plan? And I look back and nothing is new, right? Nothing is new. Way back, right, the Syrians said to Ahab, "We will not kill you if you will just give us your silver, your gold, your wives, and your children." I think Pastor Shibeli would say, what, hello? Right? So here we are. What are we going to do? Is it any different? Is it any different today? No, it's the same. It's the same spirit. It's the same attack. It's the same plan. It's the same purpose. It's the same desire that's out there, just with a new energy, right? A new energy. When Nehemiah went to build the wall and he started to build the wall, isn't it amazing what happens? I don't pronounce them properly, but Sanballat and Tobiah, right? They come and what do? Threaten, we're gonna. Just you wait. This is what we're going to do to you. Stop building the wall, right? I look around and I see my whole life, by the grace of God and by the hand of God, nothing to do with me, I have been with young people. And it is amazing because I don't remember that I'm old. I think I'm young. But here's the thing is the energy that's there, the power that's there, the desire to take, the desire to attack. But you know what? I see so many. Oh, I come down here and I just see faces that I spent time with and kids. And it is so incredibly encouraging and exciting to see that. So I was thinking all of this craziness, all of this power, all of these things that I love, even, and I'll probably get in trouble, say, even as much as I love football, they had to go take a knee and I lost my desire, right? Everything, and they want to take everything from me. But that wasn't new either, because David was one time in a little place called Ziklag, right? And there he is, and he's in Ziklag, and of course he pursues after the Amalekites. We know what happens in the story. We know that while he's away, all his people, the wives, the children, and the possessions are taken. So he comes back, and it's a hard time, right? It's a hard time. Can you imagine being the leader that made that decision, right? But what does he do? He encouraged himself in the Lord, and he pursues. But what I want to think about, because I always think of strange things, but they come to the brook, and they're weary. Have you ever been weary? Have you ever been tired? Have you ever been tired of following God? Are you ever tired of praying for something and not see it happen? Are you ever come to that place and you're just weary? And every one of us has. And out of the 600, one-third say, we can go no further. We can go no further. We are tired. We're beyond. But David pursues, he recovers, he brings back, and he comes back. And I was thinking about this. Please, God. We went to the wedding, and after the wedding last night, my daughter lives a few hours away in Virginia with our wonderful little granddaughter. So after the rehearsal dinner, we drove down to see her. And I got to spend a few hours with her in the morning, and the joy of my daughter's face and my little cute nugget that I love was awesome. And I thought, please, God, never let me to be tired to pursue. Don't let me give up. Don't let me quit, because I would not want to be one of those fathers coming back and coming, and they come and they say, hey, you saved us. Awesome. Where's Dad? Where's my husband? Please, God, I don't want to ever stay at the Brook. Please do not let me stay at the Brook. I want to be a part of that victory. I know you do the fighting. I know you are the reason. I know you're the power. But don't let me sit on my knees. Right? Don't let me miss the victory. Don't let me miss what you do. In Luke, and it says about the communion, and I don't want to jump to that thing, but the thing is, what do we do communion for? We do it for one word, this word, remember. 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 I spent a lot of years on a search and rescue team, and we would spend time looking for people that were lost in the western part of Massachusetts and in the White Mountains, a little bit in New Hampshire. And in studying the habits of what happens to people when they get separated and they find themselves alone, it's amazing that people that are very capable, professional people, in that anxiety, they will do the craziest things. They will throw off their coat and run, you know, and insanity. But 80% of the people that are found perished, that are lost, are found within 100 yards of a road. You think about that, 100 yards of a road. If they had just continued, if they had just gone forward, right? John 8:31, if you continue, and we all understand this is the grace of God. What's amazing, and we look back with David, he didn't keep back from the men who didn't go. He said, they get the reward as well. Spread the spoils amongst them. That is the grace of God, and that's the amazing thing. But I think of the eyes of God, right? If we could only look at them and say, find me faithful, God, please. Please, God. Don't let me miss the battle, right? Because of weariness. Don't let me quit 100 yards from the road. Don't let me be discouraged. But what is the greatest thing, right? Is seeking first the kingdom of heaven, having the eyes upon the Lord. I remember, and I used to wrestle. And I would wrestle, and I had this coach, and this coach was the winningest high school coach in the country. His name was Coach Moyer. And you would be on the mat, and you would look, and that guy would do anything for you. Believe it or not, I one time got in trouble and was sitting in the office, and he came in, and he sat down beside me. Didn't say a word. They called me into the office, went in, he went in, and he sat beside me. Never said a word. But he sat with me. When I was on the mat and that guy would look at me, I can't explain what would happen, but it would be like a new strength would come, a new power would come, because I knew he was for me. I knew he loved me. How much more is it if we can know Christ and know how much he's for us? And know that he died and he shed his blood and he suffered. And these don't just become words, but become reality. What happens is it unleashes a power, unleashes a victory. And it's amazing. It's amazing. Everyone here knows that. You've been in a place where someone accepts Christ and you're like so fired up, you get rejected by four people. But then someone listens and it's like, wow, this is incredible. Or God answers a prayer and heals somebody or changes a situation. You know, in Marlboro, Pastor Morrison, and we had this prayer meeting, and you know, we'd meet in different houses and there and go, and sometimes it would just seem like kind of futile. We're praying for this. And then he said, you know what, let's start writing down what we're asking for. And I said, that's a good idea. And then after 6 months, he got up and he said, there's 500 prayers answered. After a year, he said, there's thousands of prayers answered. God is answering, and some were small, like I lost my cat. Where's my cat? Or whatever, right? And I don't really like cats, but anyway. But something else would be like one of the women in our church. And she called me and said, I have no husband. My only possession is my daughter. Would you and Beth take care of her? What am I going to do? I'm loaded with cancer. And she's in to get the operations, and they go to the operations, and they say, are you the right patient? Because you don't have any cancer. Right? Then, so as powerful as that is this, but we had so many prayers answered, so many things go. God is moving. God is there. And right now, you know what? We hear these voices out here about our health, about our country, about what we believe, and all these things. And then, you know what? What did Nehemiah say, right? I'm too busy to go out. I'm building the wall. I'm building this wall. I'm about the wall of doctrine in my soul. I'm in this place. I'm hearing it. I'm putting brick upon brick. And yeah, your noise is there. But what's going to happen? We know that the wall is going to be built. We know that God is going to be victorious. Right? Maybe it's not the way that I would like to see it. Maybe it's not the way that I would think is right. But it is the perfect way. It is the absolute way of God. And it is final, it is complete, and it is amazing. And Lord, please, please, Lord, do not let us, do not let me miss being a part of that victory. Do not let me miss that excitement, right? Please, God, thank you for allowing me to speak. And Lord, touch you, bless us, and keep us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, good morning. Subconscious mind and conscious mind is an important study for us because we have activity in our conscious mind by choosing, and that will affect my subconscious, and then there's the unconscious mind. I'd make a little picture of a man standing in a lake, and the lake drops, so the water level is here, and he's standing in 3 feet of water. He can see the bottom at 3 feet, but he cannot see out here. He has no idea, unconscious mind. But that which comes to surface, the subconscious mind, sometimes in your dreams, your subconscious mind and unconscious mind affect your dreams. Sometimes I catch my subconscious mind and what is there by a wound or a disappointment. So this is conscious, and the wedding of them here in the water, subconscious and subconscious. But it might be that I don't like somebody. Why don't you like somebody? Because I don't know exactly, but I have a feeling. I think they don't like me. And I don't know, but there's something strange about it, and so on. You know, these kind of subconscious feelings and thoughts that happen in life. That is why it's so important you have a spiritual life. And spiritual life is not difficult. It's very simple. It's when you and I realize our need and we turn to God in our heart, as a way of life. Proverbs 3:5, we trust in the Lord with all our heart. He will direct our path. He will help us, and he will influence the subconscious mind of the believer by the truth. Now, Jesus said, you will know the truth. And when he says this, it's more than just like mathematical truth, like 2 and 2 is 4. It's more. It's God. You'll know the truth, and that is God, the true God, and the true God living in your spirit, and it will set you free. God in you, the fellowship or communion of the Holy Spirit, a fellowship with truth. So I cannot control my unconscious mind. I don't even know what is in there. It's so deep and so way back. Now notice, in the world, there is a push for people to go there and find it. They even make up lies about it. I believe that they don't know what they're talking about. Many times people trying to study people and analyze people, and they make up things. Yeah, the reason why you're feeling the way you are feeling is, and the reason why you can't forgive your father is, and they go all, they have no idea about true healing. Christ is the healer, and he's the priest. And this word priest is an important word in our theology, because the priest had the power, he had the ministry, there's to go before God on our behalf, and go before God on our behalf, and God would be satisfied with us, and the priest would come back out, and he was a minister in evidence of our acceptance. This is in Aaron's priesthood. So when Jesus came, he was not of the tribe of Levi. He was of the tribe of Judah, which is not a priestly tribe. Only Levi was priestly tribe. So Judah didn't go into the temple. By the way, Jesus never went into Herod, into the temple when he was on the earth. He never went in there to minister because he was not a priest of Levi. He was not of that tribe. He was different. He was of the tribe of Judah. So how could he be a priest if he was of the tribe of Judah? And this is where Hebrews 7 teaches that he was after the order of another priesthood, which is like he's the mystery man called Melchizedek in Genesis 14, Psalm 110. And Melchizedek had no, in the genealogy, had no father or mother, no beginning of days, no end of life. Another way of saying that, there's no genealogy, there's no birthplace for him, and there's no graveyard for him. He's like a mystery man. And our priest, Jesus Christ, is this kind, where Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. Well, Melchizedek didn't come from Abraham. He came from, we don't know where he came from. And Abraham paid to him. And this means that Jesus was above. Melchizedek was above Abraham. Abraham worshipped, and notice as he ate bread and wine with him. That's what we just did. We just had communion. We ate bread and wine with Jesus Christ a few minutes ago. We have fellowship, and we worship him as our three offices, king, prophet, and priest. And right now, I just want to say a few things about his priesthood. because I'm concerned. Pastor Doug mentioned it. There has to be truth on the inner part. There has to be more. How do you overcome a bad habit? God and the internal life, the spiritual life. How do you get over worrying or being afraid? God. God dwells in you. The priesthood connects you with God. Jesus Christ's priesthood is the connection between us and the holy God. We would have none except him. And because of him, we have. So turn to Hebrews 7. This is all explained in this chapter 7. And verse, we will move around a little bit. I think we can just read from verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. This is Genesis 14. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that king of Salem, which is king of peace. So we have two truths there. One truth of incredibly importance, very profound. Always remember this. Righteousness, he's a king of righteousness. He's a king of righteousness. And he's the king of peace. But which comes first? Righteousness is first. And then he has peace. People in the world want peace, but not righteousness. They want peace. They want peace. They talk about peace, but not righteousness. Wow. How about these words like safe place, you know? You need a safe place. How about, you know, you deserve this, or have you been hurt? And, you know, who understands you? And many of these phrases. You're a spiritual person, so you weigh words. You taste words like the mouth tastes food. Remember a message a week ago, turn your eyes into ears. Remember? Yeah, take your big eyes, because they're like very sensitive and very, like, they are a means, a prominent means of perception, our eyes. But close your eyes and wait on God and ask God to give you new eyes, which are really ears. Your ears become your new eyes. And I see Jesus on the Sea of Galilee in my heart. I see in the Spirit truth in the inner man. I'm encouraged. I'm quiet. People say, I don't have enough time. Well, close your eyes. You have a lot of time. Literally, close your physical eyes. And sit in a chair. A minute is a long time when you have eyes closed. And listen, and worship, and receive, and wait, and be quiet, and trust, and read your Bible, and think about it. And wait upon God. You have a priest who has gone into the Holy of Holies and brought us with him into the Holy of Holies in fellowship with God. So this is a truth. You take the whole year, this whole year, take your time and learn that truth. That truth is incredible. That's incredible. Righteousness first, then comes peace. A sword first, then comes peace. The cross, death to self, then comes peace. Surrender to truth, even if I hate it, I don't like it, I don't want it. You surrender to truth, righteousness, then comes peace like a river. Okay? Take a hold of your new life in Christ. But you cheat. You cheaters, you. You liars, you. The whole group of you and me. We are liars and cheaters, whiners and complainers, proud and arrogant. We are deceived and foolish. We are foolish. We are small. We are little, arrogant, addicted, bad habits, fears, small little people. The devil wants us to be little, small little people. You have no options. I caught you in a trap. You have no way out. You married the wrong person. Ha, 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 ha. You don't have any money. You have poverty. Your mortal body is breaking down. You're nothing. You're a little person. I'm in charge of you. That's the message. Oh, no. Oh, no, that's not. No, that's not God. That's not God. That is not God. I don't believe any of what you said. I am above you. I am the head and not the tail. That's another thing to remember. When he is the king of righteousness, you have peace. And when you are walking with Jesus, where are we? Deuteronomy 13, is it 10? Here's a snake. Okay. I'm very good at drawing snakes. No, I'm not, I guess. Who's in charge? You are the head. You are the head. We're using it in a good sense here. Usually serpents are not. And here is the tail. You are the tail. You're small, little, you're nothing, you know. That's like incredible. That's not true. That's not true. That's not true. I don't believe that. That's not true. I don't believe anything of what you're talking about. I am in charge. You listen to me. I am in charge. God is with me. Truth is in me. I am free. I make my decisions. I resist you. I don't believe your lies. I'm in charge. When this is in your inner man, I know that the flesh takes that proud or the words that I just said and they just are emotionally putting up a front or trying to puff themselves up. But I'm not saying that. I'm saying it in humility. I'm saying it in faith and in truth. There's no way what you are saying to me is lies. This is where I'm going to end in the message. One last illustration. We didn't read Hebrews 7. I really wanted to, but we can do it at another time. But I want to just leave you with this one thing. I want this in you. You have to have it. You cannot have your subconscious mind control your life. Your subconscious hurt, wound, failure, and everything the devil just said is in your subconscious and conscious mind, and you agree with the devil and the world that puts you down. But God, and Pastor Doug said, we are building up a wall, and he said, the wall is a wall of doctrine. Did you hear him say that? It's a wall of doctrine. It's the same thing I'm saying now. It's a wall internal. It's internal. It's like, I'm busy. I am with God. I've been in prayer. I have victory. I am a winner. Jesus is in my heart. I am excited in my heart. I am a believer. My cigarette smoking falls away. It's gone. I don't know where it went. It's my subconscious mind said, you'll never get rid of this. So it's, oh, you'll never win on this one. This is so addictive. You've read the articles about it. There's no way. Well, why did it go? Why did that stuff leave me? Why did it go? Because there is a ministry from heaven. It's Christ's priesthood that goes to the inner part of a man, and it says he is praying for you. Now, making intercession. Now, I looked up that word and realized it's I think two times in our New Testament, and the many classical in the Greek language, many classical examples of intercession and what it means. And it's in the tense here for Jesus interceding for us. It's like a constant thing, and it's specific. Like he actually is caring for you. He actually is interceding in a specific way. Well, you say, how can he, as a man, be interceding for all of us? And the answer is because he is God. He is man, God, God, man. He is God. He is able to do all things and intercede for us. Now, go to Nehemiah, please, and if you can find it, Nehemiah 6. This is the portion that Pastor Doug mentioned about Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me in verse 2. There was Tobiah and Sanballat and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies. Verse 1. And they said, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. Almost like you're in a world where there are a lot of lies in the world. One of the workers at Hopkins Hospital said that a couple of years ago, everybody was talking on the floor, how bad Donald Trump was, and every day there was something said about Donald Trump, how bad he was. And he said, now today, nobody says anything, good or bad, about the President Biden. They don't say anything, just quiet. Nothing good, nothing bad, just quiet. Why? Why is that? What world are we living in? What are people thinking? How are they processing life? What are they thinking about? What is of interest to us? What is being taught in public schools? And what is being said, you're homophobic or this kind of language is kind of a safe place, Well, Condoleezza Rice was going to be a graduation speaker at a university, but they canceled her out. But she's a woman. She's a black woman. And she gets canceled out. What about her safe place? Does she have a safe place being rejected? It's all a bunch of hypocrisy. It's emptiness. It's foolishness. It's coming from where? I don't know, but Sanballat and Tobiah said, hey, Nehemiah, I see you're being effective. I see you're doing something. It's over. We're shutting you down. We want to meet you. We will meet you and talk. Nehemiah said, I'm not talking. I don't have any interest in it. I got something going on in my personal life. I want to emphasize this. You have to have something going on in your personal life. You have to have a warmth. Books you read, it helps me a lot. The books I read help me think with my brother from 200 years ago. 500 years ago, I read Martin Luther, and I can actually feel and sense the fellowship that he had with God as he speaks with conviction about society, about sin, about power, about kingdoms, about the devil, about idolatry. He's a man that God was teaching, and I can read and have fellowship with him. Any man or woman that is on fire from God, with fire, they have fire from God. So, okay, let's finish up here. It says, let's meet together. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work. why don't you guys go take a long walk off a short pier? See, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort. Four times I had to say no. Four times I had to, like, I had a sense, I am not interested. I am not interested. Can you say that? I am not interested. Can you say those words? Go ahead, say it to your neighbor. I am not interested. Your boyfriend sitting next to you, you say to him, I am not interested. Your girlfriend, I am not interested. No, I'm not doing it. I'm not interested. Where's that come from? Come on, you gotta have it. I am concerned. I believe people don't have it. Come on, you cannot get it watching movies and pornography and reading garbage and going to sleep tired and complaining all day about everything that's going on around you and the politics or whatever, the news. Come on, you cannot get it. You got to get it. You got to have it. You got to say, no, I'm not coming. I don't care about that. You guys do your thing, I'll do my thing. I'm doing my thing, and it is a great work. That's what he said. It's a great work. Isn't that amazing? Okay. Now, it gets really good here. And verse 5, then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter, wherein it was written, it is reported among the heathen, ooh, I'm shaking in my boots, and gosh, Musaida, that you and the Jews think to rebel. Oh. For which cause you build the wall. Well, I'm scared of you. That you might be, may be their king, according to these words. Oh, really? I'm doing it because I'm going to be king? I'm doing it out of rebellion? That's what you think. I don't think that. Now, notice something. They can tell you, if you don't have it in your subconscious mind, this fellowship with Jesus Christ, they will tell you, and that can be like an arrow that penetrates into your subconscious, and you start thinking, oh, they think I will show them I'm not going to be king by just surrendering and laying down. See, I'm not going to be king. See, here, take everything. I'm not king. See, I see that? I'm not king. You understand what I mean? Whatever they say, I could care less about it. They can't, because I know, here it is. I know my motivation. How do you know it? Because I've been with God. I've been with God. I know my motivation. I know why I am doing what I am doing, and I see God is with me. You can call me arrogant, or you think you're going to intimidate me or something. It's not going to happen. And that's what people they really struggle. We all do. It just so happens I'm in good shape today so I can speak like this. Another day I can't do it. Another day I can't do it. I want to finish the message. Look at chapter 6, verse 8. Then I sent unto him saying, there are no such things done as you say, but you feignest them out of thine own heart. You make them up. You are making them up. How about this line? Listen, homosexual people are to be loved by the church. We are to minister to them and reach them just like any other person. Please understand that. You know our hearts. You know that's what we think about every sinful person. We are all guilty of all sin. James 2, 10 and 11 says so. So when I say this, I want you to understand it. But they make it up and out of their heart. You are homophobic. It's like, how about this one? You're a racist. It's like, now watch. Here's a white guy. You're a racist. And then he doesn't have it clear. Like, no, I'm not. You think I am? Oh, maybe I am. I've really never thought about it before. I've lived in this country my whole life, and I never really thought about that. I don't think I am, or am I? Yes, you are a racist. Of course you are a racist. You are a racist. Am I? I go before God, Lord. I don't know what to do. What, am I a racist? Jesus is saying, no. You're a spirit-filled brother. You're my son. You have wisdom. You have love. I have no evidence of anything in your life regarding that thing. Where did that come from? Where did it come from? Well, somebody's subconscious mind, or there is evidence of racism. I don't deny that. It is a sin. But are you hating homosexuals? No. I don't, not that I know of. And then what about the country that you live in? I love it. I like the country. I've been in many countries, maybe 50 or 60 countries in the world. I like it. That's why I see so many good things all around me. It's an incredible country. I'm very thankful for it. That's how I see it. And even if it has its problems, maybe God puts us here to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world and bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to people that need it, of course. And besides, I don't complain about the country. Wherever I'm living, I'm not here to complain. I'm here to be a servant. Jesus could have been in heaven and said, I don't want to go down there. It's yucky. I mean, big time yucky. I mean, they'll kill me. I'm going. Because I'm not in this world to protect myself. I'm in this world to love. I'm in this world to serve. And don't get taken out and become a small, groveling, guilty, wimpish, apologetic little person and come down from the wall. But do the work that God has called you to do. Make a difference. Let's look, finish it. It says, you feignest them out of your own heart, for they are all made us afraid, saying their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hand. It weakened us. Their words, their attack weakened us. But we kept on. We kept on. And it says the wall was finished in 20 and 5 days, verse 15. The day, right, was finished in the 25th day. And in 50 and 2 days, 52 days, the wall was finished. And they didn't like it, but God did it. And so, that's it. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, we do want to understand you made us to be the head and not the tail, to love, to live, to forgive, to joy, rejoice, to have authority in the morning, authority at night, and authority in the day, in the winter and the summer, authority in good time, authority when we have COVID, and authority when we don't, authority when things are good and authority when things are bad. You put us here in this world to love, to learn to love. Thank you, Lord. May every one of us have this great gift of personal integrating truth, appropriating the life, worshiping the Son of God who makes this all happen. The Son of God is the reason we love each other. There are no barriers or boundaries with Him. Our cup is running over. And we worship you, Jesus. On Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, we worship you. We trust you. Lead us, Lord, in our Bible reading, in our worship, our activity, involvement, our engagement, and our ability to resist the devil. He will flee from us. Yes, in Jesus' name. And then if you're here and you're not a believer, this is an invitation for you to come to Jesus Christ personally. It's between you and God. Nobody could ever go there. It's you and God. But we're inviting you, based on the gospel, to come unto him, to receive him. To as many as received him, them he gave power to become the children of God. Anyone receiving Jesus today, just raise your hand in the auditorium and the ushers will give you a booklet. Anyone at all? Yes to Jesus, yes to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for these thoughts in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey. Wait a minute, I got to close that there. There are no such things as you say, but you feignest them out of thine own heart. Let's say that together. There are no such things as you say, but you make them up out of your own heart. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. I've been with God. I'm not buying it. Thank you, Lord.